As always, it's a great privilege to come and worship our great and awesome God. I appreciate the songs that Chance led this evening, the prayer that Kevin uttered as we prayed together, extolling God's greatness, giving him the praise that he deserves, also being thankful that God is so mindful of us, weak, imperfect servants. We put our trust in him and seek to do our best, but we fall short. We need God's grace every day. It's always encouraging to come together to worship our God. One day we will worship in his presence. I can't wait for that day. This life, with all its distractions, can sometimes push that thought from my mind, but I need to see that every single day. One day we will see the King. One day we'll touch his face. One day we'll be in God's presence. This is all preparation to get us there. Now, that's what that's all about. Well, this evening I want you to think with me about one of the most common practices in the religious world that has to do with addressing men with religious titles. It's kind of strange to me how religious beliefs evolve through time, and sometimes practices and doctrines that were once denounced by the masses of even denominational Christianity have become increasingly popular to the point that they become widely accepted, endorsed, and in practice. And that is the case with the use of religious titles. I know most of us understand that God has not authorized that in Scripture, and so this may be reinforcement for yourself and also to equip you as you talk to your friends and neighbors who talk about their pastors and the reverend and the archbishop or whatever the title might be. As we look at Scripture, we need to understand that the Bible is exceptionally clear on the subject of religious titles. And so we want to take a look this evening at the Bible's clear teaching on the use of religious titles. And again, we probably have a pretty plain understanding of that ourselves, but we need to be teaching that to our children. And I understand that as life goes on, sometimes even New Testament Christians walk away from the Lord's church and they become a part of the denominations around them. I want these truths to echo in the hearts and minds of every person so that we cannot endorse things that are not acceptable in God's sight. And so let's look this evening at what the Bible has to say concerning the use of religious titles. There are 4 points that I have put together for this lesson. And the first one is going to address the most commonly used, or one of the most commonly used titles, being that of reverend. Anybody ever hear their friends or neighbors or coworkers talk about the reverend or the pastor or whatever particular title that is used? But the first point I want to mention to us and suggest this evening, that the only one who deserves to be reverenced is God. Look with me in Psalms chapter 111 and verse 9. In our day and time, all types of titles are thrown around of pastor, father, very reverend, his holiness. Even the masonry group, those who are Freemasons, use the title sometimes worshipful master. Again, so this isn't restricted just to religious groups. But in Psalms chapter 111 and in verse 9, this is what the psalmist said concerning God. He has sent redemption to his people. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. This is the New American Standard Version. The King James Version used the word reverend. Holy and reverend is his name. And so sometimes people think, well, it's not really translating that in the newer translations with the word reverend, but the meaning is the same. God is so holy that it's hard to get words in human language to describe his greatness, his power, and his awesomeness. In fact, the whole psalm is a psalm that extols God's greatness. In verse 1, it says, "Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart, in the company of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Splendid and majestic is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He has given food to those who fear him. He will remember his covenant forever. He has made known to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are sure. They are upheld forever and ever. They are performed in truth and uprightness. See, nobody else is like God. And then the psalmist said in verse 9, he has sent redemption to his people. He has redeemed us. He has ordained his covenant forever. Holy and reverend or awesome is his name. So this term reverend that's used so commonly in our culture is applied to God alone in Scripture. At least that principle is applied to him. And when Jesus was instructing his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, we're going to be looking at another passage in Psalm 99 in just a minute, so you might want to stay there. But Jesus told his disciples to pray in this way: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed is your name. Hallowed be your name. Let your name be held as holy. So God's name is holy. He is to be reverenced. He is great and awesome. Psalm chapter 99, while we're over here, also addresses God's greatness and his great name. And Psalm chapter 99, look at verses 1, 2, and 3. Again, very similar language over here that the psalmist uses. It says, The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim. Let the earth shake. Let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. What compelling language when we talk about God in his greatness and his great name. Now, the question I would ask for each of us to consider: what person on earth is worthy of that type of praise and honor? That you're going to call some man reverend? Awesome? Terrible? That's another way you could translate Psalm 111 and verse 9 that we just read, that passage. What person is worthy of that type of reverence? There's no one. No one gets that description. These phrases apply to God. And all these passages extol his greatness, his holiness, his power, his majesty. He is worthy of all praise and glory. His name is above every name. He is to be reverenced. And yet we throw that term around, reverent, the most reverend so-and-so. What? Where do these things come from? They come from man. Man makes that stuff, that kind of thing up. So, again, when you look at the titles, not really even titles, but the phrases described, ascribed to God's greatness, who is worthy of that type of veneration? Only God. We are just jars of clay. We're mere mortals. Here, brothers and sisters in Christ, but God gets the praise, God gets the credit, and we give that to him. Again, to make this maybe more practical and maybe use somewhat of a ridiculous illustration. Can you find these titles in the New Testament? Reverend Paul or Dr. John or Pastor Timothy or Master Peter or Father Jude or Mother Priscilla? Don't find that anywhere in Scripture. It's nowhere to be found. And I believe that we wouldn't call men reverend if we really knew how reverenced God is and how he deserves to receive that type of honor. So that's the first point I want us to consider. We'll look at the Scriptures. The only one who's worthy to be reverenced in this fashion and for his name to be reverenced is God himself. The second point I want us to understand is that the Bible expressly forbids the use of religious titles for men. It's not like God's just giving some suggestion. It's not a good idea to use these things. But I'm talking about the Bible explicitly prohibits the use of religious titles. In our culture, in both Catholic churches and Protestant churches, it's rampant. It's universal. They all call their bishops and leaders and pastors and teachers with these phrases, and using the term reverend, they just throw that out so flippantly. And yet, when you look in the Scriptures, this is not the case. Notice in Matthew chapter 23 with me, and look at verses 6 through 10. Actually, beginning in verse 1. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 1, Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in a chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels on their garments or of their garments. They love the place of honor at the banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher, and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, that is Christ. We'll come back to this text in just a moment. But again, I just have to point this out to each one of us, that the Bible explicitly forbids the use of religious titles as applying to men. I understand we want to be respectful to the minister, and I appreciate respect that you may show me or my fellow elders, and that's all wonderful and good, but we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We don't have any titles in the New Testament. So sometimes people say, well, we're just using the title reverend to be respectful. But what did Jesus say? Yes, does Jesus want us to be respectful? Surely he does. But in the church relationship here, in the relationship that we have with him, he does not want his followers to be in the practice of using religious titles. Look at this quotation that disappeared many years ago. I get this the sermon originally from an article that Paul Earnhardt wrote, but Christianity Today, this is back in the 80s, I think, this article. And this guy who makes this statement is a bishop in the Anglican Church, which is basically the equivalent of Catholicism. The Right Reverend Mervyn Stockwood, outspoken Anglican bishop of Southwark, London, wanted to abolish ecclesiastical titles such as Reverend and Venerable. He said that they were both unscriptural and ridiculous, and that, like gaiters, that's something to wear about down by your ankles, they should be dumped in the ash can of pompous ecclesiastical absurdities. Now, chew on that for just a moment. This is not something that some conservative preacher in the Church of Christ is saying. This is a guy who wears the title, the Right Reverend, who's a bishop in the Anglican Church. He says, we need to pitch this stuff in the dump. Wow. But nobody listens. Nobody listens because nobody cares what God says. God says don't use religious titles, and men just go on ignoring what God says. But here's a guy who, with great personal risk to his own occupation, says, yes, I am one of these reverends, and I think it's sickening. We need to quit using these religious titles. This is from the guy who is has a lot of authority in the Anglican Church, so I think it's compelling to listen to what he has to say. So again, that's a very old quotation. But what he said is true. He wants to abolish these titles like reverend and venerable, because God is the one to be venerated, not objects, not people. And look at this quotation from Job. I thought this is interesting. This is the King James Version, a little bit different from what some of your translations may read. But listen to what Job says. You know the context of suffering and the slander he endured. He says, let me not, I pray you, accept any man's person, neither let me give flattering titles unto man. For I know not to give flattering titles, and so doing my maker would soon take me away. Wow. Job says, I'm not going to use flattering titles as it relates to men. In Job chapter 32. So again, the second point that I'm making here, and I've got two more, the Bible explicitly forbids the use of religious titles for men. The third point that we want to notice this evening is to understand from God's perspective what he wants from us is humility. The biblical command is to humble oneself. In fact, if you still have Matthew chapter 23 open, we had just looked at the prohibition that Jesus gave to his disciples, those who would be disciples of his, and know that in the context of all these religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees. So he says very plainly, don't be called rabbi, don't be called father, don't be called teacher or leader, because one is your leader, that is Christ. And then in verse 11, in the same context of religious titles, Jesus said in verse 11, "But the greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever humbles himself shall be exalted." Do you see that? Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. Whoever humbles himself shall be exalted. So what God wants in terms of a chief characteristic in our lives is humility. And one of the ways that we cause pride to get into our mindset when we use these religious titles. In fact, I'm going to look at another statement. This is from Michael Green, who is a fellow Anglican bishop with the other fellow I just mentioned. I think he wrote a book called Called to Serve. So again, this is another Anglican bishop. And this is what he said. "One cannot help feeling that the whole gamut of ecclesiastical courtesy titles are a hindrance rather than a help to the work of the ministry. They build an invisible wall between their bearer and the world at large. Much more important, they tend to make him just a little proud, just a little pleased with himself, just a little further removed than he was before." I may have miswrote that. Before he had the role of servant. So again, here's a man who is this reverend, and he is in that position of honor within his denomination, and he's saying these ecclesiastical religious titles promote pride and not humility. That's what he's saying. That's not what I'm saying. And from the group that practices that on a regular basis, he says we need to do away with these things. This is a bishop in the Anglican Church just like the other one. And again, when you look at Scripture, let's go back to this other passage. Jesus tells us very plainly that the greatest among you needs to be your servant. Notice in Luke chapter 14, while we consider this particular point, Jesus really shows us that this is kind of a common human tendency among human beings, especially when people get together for various reasons. In verse 7, says that he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man.' And then in disgrace, you proceed to occupy the last place. But when you are invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you." Then verse 11 is a kingdom principle for God's kingdom in the New Testament. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." You don't have to be given some great sounding ecclesiastical title, the Reverend so-and-so. When you do the will of God, he gives you the greatest title. "My son, my daughter, my beloved child, enter into the joy of your Lord." You'll get the title from God himself. We don't have to receive titles from men. Again, they promote very often pride, not humility. Look at one of the passages with me in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. Again, this is a passage that is familiar to most of us, no doubt. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to just begin reading in verse 1. This is in the context of elders who are serving in the local congregation. Peter himself was an elder. He was a bishop, a married man. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1, Peter said, "Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight not under compulsion but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet is lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, for God is opposed to the proud and gives grace to the humble." Now notice verse 6. This is the context of church leaders, of elders, shepherds within the Lord's church. "Therefore," in verse 6, "therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." So when we look at the very basic teaching in Scripture, God commands us to humble ourselves, not to exalt ourselves with fancy titles and that type of thing. The exaltation comes from God's hands, not from us. So again, from God's perspective, we all need to humble ourselves. One other point that I want to mention this evening, and that is when you, sometimes people say, well, Mike, you know, as a preacher or an elder, what are we supposed to call you? And I just say, just call me Mike. You know, brother, whatever it may be, there are no titles. But in Scripture, the Bible uses several words to describe the work of gospel preaching. For example, we could talk about elders another time. But in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7, the term preacher is applied. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 5, evangelist. In 1 Thessalonians, the word minister is used. 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter refers to Paul as a beloved brother. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1, the term servant is used for those preaching. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, the word worker is used. So these are some of the words that the Bible uses to describe the work of gospel preachers. And again, I would say that these are not titles either. They just describe a relationship. A preacher is somebody who preaches, just like a gardener is somebody who works in the garden. You don't go around calling him Gardener John, but that's the work that he's involved in. And so these are words that are not used as titles in the Bible, but they describe a relationship. It's interesting to me, in the religious world, you know, pastor and reverend and bishop and archbishop are just used all the time by these people in the various denominations. It's interesting when you look at these other terms in Scripture, if they're going to use something, some word to describe the work, nobody calls himself Worker Jones, like, or Servant Bob. No, it's Reverend Bob. It's His Most Holiness Smith or John, whoever it may be. But nobody takes these other terms and says, I'm going to call him Servant Jones. You're not going to be advertising that guy coming to some type of meeting that way. But these are the words that are used in Scripture to describe the work of preaching. And so I think as we summarize our lesson this evening, we need to see God for who He is in all His greatness and holiness and power and purity and love and compassion. He is awesome. He is so different from us. And we need to see ourselves as insignificant in His sight, worthy of His love and worthy of belonging because He redeemed us from our sins. But we are still humble creatures in His sight. And we need to understand that the first step to greatness and glory is humility. Humble yourself in God's sight. He will exalt you. But you don't have to do that yourself. And so one question I want us to close with before we extend the invitation song. This is the real question in my opinion. Do you respect the words of Jesus Christ? Do you respect the words of Jesus Christ? Because what we're talking about came from His lips. And Jesus is the one who explicitly forbids the use of religious titles. So I'd suggest to us this evening that either you respect the words of Jesus and you obey what He says and you do not use religious titles, or you disrespect Jesus Christ and you use religious titles anyway. Those are the only options. If you respect Jesus, the one who hung on the cross for your sins and my sins, then you're not going to violate His word. But that's the real question. Do we respect the words of Jesus? Or do we disrespect Him and do what we want because it makes more sense to us? Again, this is not the type of thing that we talk about from very often, but we need to look at that from time to time. God is very clear in Scripture. He wants us to serve Him with humility. If you want to become a Christian, you don't come bragging to God with all your accomplishments. You come confessing your unworthiness, your desire to obey His will through faith and repentance. And then submitting to His command to be immersed in water to have your sins forgiven. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, we urge you to do that this evening. If you need the prayers of the congregation, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing this invitation song.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way while we do His good. He abides with us still, and with